Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, your host, and thank you so much for tuning in. Today we have Joseph Wilner joining us. He is a licensed therapist and a life coach who also happens to be a drummer. And the reason for that is he has decided that despite all the time and effort he put into going to school and following the path and making money and setting up a private practice, he followed this deep intuition, a calling he felt within him to honor his dream and join the band Yes You Are. You can check out his band Yes You Are on Facebook. You can find him at youhaveacalling.com. He is awesome if you're trying to get yourself to a new place, figure out what your dreams are, follow up on those dreams, and do what it is that you feel is deep in your heart and meaningful to you. And if you just want to hear an awesome story of somebody who took that leap, I know you're going to enjoy today's show. He also has a free ebook and course. If you go to his site, you can check it out, download it for free. So no reason not to do that. Thank you so much again for tuning in. And I know you're going to enjoy our conversation. Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, and today we have Joseph Wilner joining us. Hey, Joseph, how are you today?
Hey, Laura. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
All right. I'm super excited to chat with you because when I was checking out your stuff, for those of you listening, Joseph is somebody who is a licensed therapist and life coach, but he also writes, he happens to be a drummer, which I think is awesome. But at age 30, he decided to change directions, go towards being a drummer, follow his dream. And now he talks about this. He coaches on the subject. And I thought, how fun to like really sort of deep dive into this question. We hear people's stories all the time on this show, but to have a life coach and therapist who also made this big shift, I thought, well, how fun to really take this to the next level and talk about what does this all mean, right? So anybody out there who is thinking about making a change or just made a change and going through the struggles, not only is Joseph somebody you could work with, check out his site, but I think we'll have a lot to talk about today. So Joseph, I wanted to start with something that just caught my eye on your website. I have, you know, made a bunch of websites. I read them all the time for the show, but I just loved this section. You wrote, "Despite my unconventional decision-making, I knew deep down it was exactly what I was meant to do. I decided to finally listen to my intuition. I decided to embrace that I had a calling." And it's such a simple idea, and all of us are like, yeah, yeah, I totally get that, right? But I feel like we take for granted that that's actually not simple. So just to start off, people talk about embrace the idea of a calling that I, you know, deep down knew that there was something I meant to do. What are people talking about when they're saying this? I'm obsessed with this idea, but what does that even mean, right? Like, was it a feeling within you? Was it a vision you had of yourself? Like, what did that mean for you?
Yeah, the word calling is a pretty big, broad word. There's even maybe in a traditional definition of it, maybe a spiritual connotation to it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of ways to look at that idea. When I use that word, I connect it to a mission that someone would have in their life, something that they're called to do that they really, really care about, something that they stand for, that is almost, it's almost sort of becomes a mission for them. This thing that I really, really want to fulfill and pursue and create and make my life about. And so, you know, a lot that has a lot of different pieces involved in it. In my case, it may be helpful just to share a little background that it wasn't just all of a sudden at some point I had a revelation of my calling. It was something that had been, you know, materializing for a long time. And I feel like I was ignoring it and I was neglecting it for different reasons of, you know, conformity and trying to fit in and follow a more traditional path that I thought I was supposed to or should do. Mm-hmm. And so in my life, there was a thread of music and drumming since I was a youth, you know, since I was a young teenager playing in bands, that was always something that had been there. And it was a thread that had always been weaving its way in my life that I would always end up stepping away from for what I would consider more of your traditional life path, more of that thing that that kind of fits in the status quo. Yeah. That makes money that has a certain role with, you know, this role means you're successful, that kind of thing. And so for me, that was a big part of it for me, where I got to a point where I had achieved this worldly societal success, you know, air quotes around success, you know, like that, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. And once I did that, then I kind of was able to sit back and really reflect and say, well, now what? Because I have another, hopefully 50 years of my life left. What do I really want to be doing now that I've achieved this thing? You know, it was sort of like I had to work through this idea that if I was going to break the mold, that was okay. You know, that there's a little bit of vulnerability and shame around that, that it just took me a long time to get to a point to say, screw it, I'm going to take a step in a direction that I really, really feel compelled and called to follow.
Yeah. So you work with people now on this topic and you've done it with yourself. You're a therapist. What is this, right? Because so many people, I think, do what we feel is smart, and we say things like it makes sense. And a lot of it, I guess, is around finances, but not always. And we abandon our truth, our what we you know, are like, right? There's a spiritual, like you said, I love that point, but there's also a mission. I feel this is important. However you package it, is it just societal pressure? Is it also the fear of stepping into yourself? And, you know, really, once you do it, you have, you know, there's that question, am I good enough? You know, where do I even start? How does this work? Will other people approve? How do you see that?
I think you just listed about five reasons why people wouldn't. Yeah, those exact questions. I mean, those are very difficult to answer questions. And, you know, you've talked to a ton of people on this show, and so you maybe have been able to dig into this idea a little more. But from my experience and from, you know, just talking to other people and their experience, following a path that is that's less clear, that has more uncertainty, that maybe goes against the grain of what a lot of other people are doing, I feel like that is a much more difficult path to follow.
Yeah.
Now the idea would be is, you know, if you don't follow that, you're risking your own sort of suffering in a different way though, right? It's sort of like we're denying ourselves maybe what we're really, really capable of doing or meant to do even. And so, you know, you have some pain and suffering on the journey, maybe more than you would if you followed a more traditional path. But then ultimately, in the long term, what are you risking, or you know, how is it going to turn out if you continue to, you know, it's kind of like, if I don't follow my heart, I feel like I think we're almost sort of destroying ourselves in a weird way, depending on how intense that incongruence is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, think about it. If someone's totally out of alignment in their life, I mean, you see that and people feel that. And, you know, there's people that are just really not on the right path, and there is a different path for them. And so it's a continuum, right? Some people are, you know, doing what they want to do, and they feel good about it. Maybe, you know, they aren't fully reaching for their potential or whatever, but that's okay. And, you know, I think there's a lot of different contexts for that, but it's definitely a harder path. To me, it's one that's going to take a lot more inner work and a lot more character development potentially than you know, more of a traditional path that's kind of laid out for you, that linear path of success.
Yeah, that's interesting. So in a certain way, that linear path, because the world sets it up for you, it's easier to get started and follow, but then you kind of have to pay the piper later, because it's like it takes a little chunk of your soul if you're really out of alignment with your true values and meaning. And it's so funny to me that we say things like, it's a smart choice or it makes sense, but it's not aligned with ourselves. And so what is smart about it? Just that it's, you know, the culture has set it up to be smart. I mean, if you're a doctor in your heart of hearts and the culture is really set up to be a doctor, like, I get that, right? Like, it's a smart choice. It makes money. It's helping people and you love it. Like, that's fantastic. But if it isn't your calling and you're in med school and then you're like, you know, a surgeon, and you're working, you know, hundreds of hours. I know a lot of people who did this in medicine. It's a very, very difficult life so on the one hand, I guess my question is, right, is we call it a smart choice, but how smart is it if you have no real passion behind it, right? Like, how do we separate that?
I like to use the word practical. because I do believe it's a more practical choice,
yeah,
at least in the short term, because if you're wanting a specific outcome of this type of career, making X amount of money with some level of kind of job security, whatever, yeah, it's a lot more practical,
yeah,
to do that, in my opinion. And then, but it really does, like you said, it comes down to someone's values and why they're doing something. And maybe that is where, you know, when we look at the, you know, the macrocosm of our world and, you know, the education system and all of that, that maybe that's the missing piece, is most people don't start to think about that or question that or ask why they're doing something until they start to feel that dissonance or that, that, that kind of sense that something's missing and that they're not really on the path they want to be on. You know, we don't generally ask those questions when we're 17, 18, 19 years old as much as maybe would be useful to start to think about that. And those are big questions. So at the same time, maybe it takes a lot of experience and wisdom, or, you know, more experience and wisdom to really start to think about that stuff, to even consider that, you know, maybe there is something more, something greater that I can be pursuing, or something that, you know, I really, really believe in more deeply than what I'm doing right now. But it's that why, you know, and that's really what happened to me, is I really was doing things based, you know, from when I was younger. I kind of struggled as a teenager, got in a lot of trouble, wasn't doing well in school. I wasn't that kid that they would say, this kid's going to be set up for success, right? I was kind of the kid that had that self-identity of, man, I hope I'm not a screw up later in life. And so for me, I've been able to look back. See, as a therapist, I can go back and like self-diagnose myself, right? That's the fun thing about therapist. But when I do look back, I see that pattern of, okay, I overcompensated. And all of a sudden, because I didn't feel successful as a youth, I overcompensated and went all in and said, okay, what would make me look and feel successful to other people? What life path would do that? And I was like, okay, well, so something prestigious, some graduate education, some kind of career that I feel like I'm helping people. And really, I went into it because I did want to help people ultimately, to, you know, avoid pain and suffering and be happier. But at the same time, I was doing it because there was definitely a supposed to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. And drumming is not a supposed to.
Correct. No, I mean, if you really think about it, unless I would have gone in, you know, I didn't do the traditional thing of going in the, like, through the school extracurricular, you know, path. But yeah, for me, drumming wasn't, being in a band, being this, you know, a drummer wasn't, for whatever reason, something that I viewed as a real career option.
Yeah.
It was more of something, because think about it, it was so fun for me to do that. At the time, I had this strange limiting belief that something that is that fun, that I enjoy that much, that I'm that passionate about, that can't be a job. I mean, that can't be my vocation, right?
I love that. I love that because, you know, I work with people all the time on this topic, and I think this happened to me. The thing that was closest to me that I do so naturally, I couldn't see it as an option, right? Like I didn't think one could actually make a career out of those things. And so I always say people start upside down. They start with what's out in the world and how do I just smush myself into something versus, you know, what do I do naturally and love to do? And let me capture that so then I can go see in the world where it works. And so you're a therapist and as well. And when you're working with people for yourself, I mean, what happens that we like lose that connection? It sounds like you knew that drumming was an option, something you loved, but a lot of people say, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what I love anymore. I don't know what, you know, I don't even have a dream. So what do you do in that case?
Yeah, I think that's common for people. You know, we often are not so clear about who we are as a person individually, as much as we're trying to fit in to a certain role or a certain, we're trying to fit in with other people, right? We want to feel like we belong. We want to feel like we're connected. And so I think sometimes that can be confusing then, because we're trying to, like you said, we're trying to fit ourselves into maybe a situation that just doesn't match who we are and who we want to become. And so we start to neglect, you know, like that, the idea of authenticity, I think, is directly related to that. Mm-hmm. That to me, authenticity is doing something that I believe in and something that I stand for and something that, you know, like following my own path is authentic. Right. Mm-hmm. Not trying to be someone else.
Yeah.
But I think so often, at least in my circumstance, a comparison and trying to say, okay, well, this person looks successful. How can I be like them? How can I, you know, fit into this role? What is a therapist? What's the role of a therapist? Right. And so even trying to fit that professional role, Like for me, in all honesty, I hope to be talking to you next year and be able to say I'm a drummer that happens to have a license to practice therapy and is a life coach.
Uh-huh.
To me, that is a more authentic way of describing my roles, as opposed to I'm a therapist who happens to be a drummer. My goal is to flip that.
So it sounds like you're saying that, you know, starting with what do I want and who I am, even just being able to say this over time, like you're saying, I'm a licensed therapist and life coach still who happens to be a drummer, and that it's a process to slowly say, I'm a drummer who happens to be a, and I understand that on some level, it's also how your time is being spent. But I think that identity, right, of yourself and starting to bring that back into your truth, like this is who I am. As a writer, I started writing and I just was like, really? Like I've been an entrepreneur. I don't see it. And so I got a business card and I just wrote writer on it. using that because it was just helpful to start to get this, you know, into my psyche as an identity. Do you feel that that's part of the process for people?
It is. And, you know, for whatever reason, as human beings, we like to categorize things and organize things. And so labels and roles and identity, it helps us just make sense of things. But, you know, some people would say, if you're writing, you're a writer, regardless of your job title or how much money you make. And some people would say it's a hobby. But still, you know, I do think that it's easy to focus on what we're doing and make that a part of our identity. What do I do on a daily basis, as opposed to who do I want, like what kind of person do I want to become in life?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I want to approach life from a perspective of how am I being? And I just find that, I think that's helpful that people can realize that they can transform and become really so many, there's so many different versions of all of us. We just sort of have to make that choice. And there might be, we might be doing a lot of different things, like, you know, amidst that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think it's important for people to recognize there's not just one path that we're going to follow either, right? There's a lot of different versions of ourselves that we can pursue and choose to explore and try to play around with and see what comes up from that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's hard because then that's confusing. Then we kind of ask, well, who am I? And you know, what, like, how do I, you know, someone says, hey, what do you do? Well, all of a sudden, like it's nice to have something to say to them. Right.
Yeah. 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 I mean, right. I think we use these labels to communicate our truth, but it's right. I mean, who we are at the deepest core level and on that spiritual level, I mean, it's sort of beyond words, right? There's really not a way to describe people who they are, right? So we use these categories and these titles to put some sense around it. So you have a 3-step process, and your first step is to acknowledge your dream, right? And so what does that mean for you? What do you mean for people to do?
Yes, that is simply to start to try and practice and explore dreaming again. You know, every young child is able to dream.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are naturally gifted and blessed with an imagination. And through our life, we naturally use that imagination as children. We dream, we have big ideas. We all, you know, it's the cliche that every kid, you know, wants to be an astronaut or wants to be the president, right? They have these big dreams of what's possible for life. And, you know, whatever someone else's dream is, right? I think my nephew at one point said he wanted to be a garbage man or something like that. And that's cool too, right? Whatever someone's dream is. but we, at some point as we go through life, I think we forget to use that capacity.
Yeah.
And I, for whatever reason, whether it's because we don't believe we deserve that, or we don't believe it's possible, or it's too scary, or it just feels grandiose and it doesn't feel logical. And so we're like, well, I'm a logical person, right? I'm going to be someone who's logical and going through this life, not thinking of these grandiose ideas. So I think we stifle that at some point in life. And it's just kind of, it's interesting to just give people permission to say, well, what is your dream? Like just brainstorm, just write down, you know, as many things as you can think of that you'd have always wanted to do in your life. Cause those are all dreams, essentially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They may not be career related. They may not be something, you know, that's a specific project you're going to work on, but just brainstorm all these things that you've always wanted to do and practice that flexibility in your thinking of using your imagination again and starting just to open up to what's possible. And so that's really important. Just acknowledging and allowing yourself to dream is a really good first step. If someone hasn't been doing that and they feel really stuck, that they're in this role that they've been in for a decade, this job or whatever, and they haven't practiced thinking of you know, what's possible or what kind of, they haven't practiced envisioning a different future.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's important to get them to do that.
Yeah. Open that space up again. And wouldn't you say it's really important in that moment to not think about whether you can do it or what it would take or the finances? Because I feel like immediately people, part of the reason we don't dream is because we get so practical and we think we know, you know, how to be realistic. And so we narrow. So is part of that letting go of your preconceived notions of, you know, what it will take to get done and oh, I don't have the education or that I just never have time for that. Just put that aside for a little bit so that you can get that muscle moving again. And because kids don't, they're like, I want to fly. I mean, they'll just say anything.
Yeah. Kids are not thinking of how it's going to happen. They just want, you know, and I think kids have a lot more grit than adults do. If they want something bad enough, they don't take no for an answer, right? Mm. Potentially. And sometimes from a parent's side, that's not always that enjoyable. But but yeah, they're not thinking how. Uh-huh. And they haven't developed, it's kind of funny, they haven't developed limiting beliefs yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. About all the reasons they shouldn't or why they can't do it or why that maybe doesn't make sense or, you know, because they're just kind of an open canvas still at that certain point. But I think that is a huge part. I think naturally our voice of fear, our voice, our ego chimes in, which is normal. We all have it. I don't think it goes away necessarily. I think maybe in certain aspects of our life, we can really try to manage some of that chatter, but we can shift our belief system too. But that's why coaching is so fun, is because I get to help people mm-hmm. have those deep conversations, because often they are reaching out to talk about, you know, changing jobs or kind of just wanting something different. But really when you go deep and you're like, what do you really, really want? Like, let's just, you know, all rules out the door.
Yeah.
You know, you can do anything you want to do. Let's have those conversations. And that to me that's some of the most fun beyond playing drums that I can have is allowing people that space and seeing what comes up for them where they have maybe never told anybody about that stuff before.
Even themselves.
That's powerful.
Yeah. I play these games with some of my clients of like, let's just pretend it before. And then they just like a sentence just bursts out of their mouth. And I'm like, oh my God. Right. They just, I want blah, 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 blah. And you're like, did you ever say that before? They're like, no, I don't even know where that came from. So it's right there. It's not lost, right? I do think that people start to give up hope. So your next point is listen to your calling. Reflect on these questions. If you had 100 million, oh, I love that number. What would you do? When are you enthusiastic, right? So how does that, I've been trying to practice dreaming. Do I do that for a few days, a few weeks? And then, I mean, do these things go in tandem? How do you think about it?
Yeah. And real quick, Laura, just because this is coming up to me and I feel like it's necessary to share, to add on to that last question, because it's something that I've continued to work on. But at first, I do want to acknowledge that maybe one of the hardest parts of being willing to acknowledge a dream or acknowledge that there's more is the vulnerability around that. And so I just want to throw that out there, that I think is a big part of it, is it's really vulnerable to share that with anybody. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm just like, yeah, I have these huge dreams and it's easy to think about. It's like, no, it's really vulnerable.
Yeah.
To admit that's, I really am willing. I go there in my mind. I think that's possible. I think that I could achieve that. That's actually very vulnerable to do that. So I want to throw that out there too. I think that's easy. There's a lot of shame that can get in the way for people that is very difficult to work through.
What do you mean? What kind of shame? What specifically? So somebody's listening right now and they're in that space. What kinds of things do you feel like?
Yeah. Well, if they've gone through things in the past where they've messed up and failed, or, you know, this idea, just confronting the fact that you deserve to have what you really want to create in this life, that you're worthy, just simply worthiness. Ugh. I think is probably that's the big one. You know, fear is there, but fear is usually momentary. Like fear, that's the fear, the voice of fear pops up and says, that's not a bad idea. That something bad could happen. But the voice of shame pops up and says, you're not good enough. And that's a terrible decision. You could never actually do that. That's a little deeper of a barrier, I think, that is going to come up for people.
Yeah, it did for me. And it still does. You know, it's like, I also thought once you start doing what you love, that goes away. But I feel like it comes and goes, you know. Like,
it intensifies actually somehow.
And then it goes away and you feel really good. And then you sort of, within, you know, I'm thinking about my next book and oh my God, there it is again. I'm like, seriously, I thought I dealt with you. Yeah. That's a great, great, great point.
So, and I apologize. I forgot now what the next.
Yeah. So listening to your calling, like how does that relate to acknowledging your dream? Do you do this sort of in tandem? Do you like to do one and then the next? It feels like those sort of go together, start to dream. Imagine you have $100 million.
So the idea is, you know, kind of get that imagination flowing. And then from there, you can start to really think in terms of creating a vision for your life. You know, sort of this idea of if 10 years down the road or 2 to 3 years down the road, however far you want to create that vision, you know, what does your ideal life look like? And starting to help people actually, you know, answering some of those questions can kind of get people a little more clarity on really the ideal life that they would like to live. Mm-hmm. And so you get them thinking a little more long term. You know, if you're going to actually create most people create a vision for their life, but they don't really actually put it down on paper. They haven't really put a lot of thought into it. It's more just in their head, there's images of the life they'd like to live.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to really think about that and put some thought and effort into that of these different areas of my life. You know, what do I want my professional life, my personal life, my physical health? Like, what do I want all these things to look like? And I think it's important to come to the idea that we're whole people. So when I say calling, that's one piece to the puzzle, but I would want people to consider the bigger picture of their whole life with these ideas, you know, because you're creating a lifestyle. If you're going to have a certain vocation or, you know, career path, a life's work, that's going to directly influence your day-to-day living. And it's nice to make sure that's aligned as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, nobody thinks to ask the question, do I want to work with people? Lots of people? Do I want flexibility in my day? Like, you know, like I just felt like it was so hard to answer the question, what do I even want? But those other questions, I mean, who knew you could ask those too, right? Like it's really fun to think that through. You know, how much success do you really want? Don't you think that's such a great question? We all sort of run after success, but what does that mean to you? How much money is enough money, right?
I totally agree. I mean, I think kind of what comes from some of these ideas we're talking about is you get to create a more personal definition of success.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge.
Right. Is it, I mean, for the TV and the movie stars and everything, it's like, you know, 10 houses and jet planes, but you know, that also comes with 100-hour work weeks. So what do you really want to do? Right. Like, do you want to work 100-hour work weeks? Do you want to manage 10 houses? Like, is that actually fun to you? Or, you know, is it more artistic life? Do you care about belongings? I just don't think we slow down to really define success on our own terms.
I agree. And a lot of times we're looking directly in the professional domain, but I think it's nice to realize we can have multiple dreams.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that maybe I have currently I'm focused on a dream, you know, for my professional type of aspiration that I have, but I also want a family someday. Yeah. Right. And so these are different dreams. And so they're not exclusive to each other. It's not one or the other, but it's kind of like, okay, you know, how can I start to put all this together? And that's where it gets a little trickier and where, you know, there is a reason that a lot of people follow that linear path of success because it is a little, it's a little easier to fit all these different things together. We have to be a little more resourceful and creative and think outside the box and have to, you know, understand that if I'm going to pursue one of these dreams, other things might have to be on the back burner for a minute. But we have, you know, there's a lot of different dreams that we can have too. And so it's not just that it's all about career, for instance. If we're going to be in alignment and live by our values, we want to think in all these different areas, relationships and our personal life as well as our career.
Yeah. And I love that you're on here because I can be more aggressive. Because when I'm talking about myself, it sounds like I'm trying to sell my own coaching. I really think working with somebody like yourself, getting a coach, you know, sitting down with somebody, it just makes the process so much more manageable. That's what I did, you know, and I just encourage anybody to, you know, call you up, sit down, go through all this because it's not that hard with somebody keeping you from, you know, getting trapped in your own head about it.
And I want to share that before I really committed to pursuing this idea of being a drummer and following that path and shifting my whole focus of the work I do, I was in a group coaching program actually with three other men. And it was pretty amazing I remember getting the validation and the feedback because I was throwing the ideas out there like, well, that's crazy. It's irresponsible to do that. Or I like starting over, I went to grad school and got all this education. And now I have this, you know, I'm in this private practice situation. That's crazy to change paths all of a sudden. Like, that makes no sense. Yeah. That is the most irrational thing I could do. And they were able to say, well, maybe that's exactly what you should do.
Right. No, it's
it was just like, wow. Okay. Like,
yeah, I didn't.
It was freeing to hear that.
Yeah, I didn't do it, Joseph. I just was going it alone for like 2 years. It was horrible. I mean, I was sweating it out. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? And I was just driving myself crazy. And so when I got a coach, it was extremely, extremely organizing. So you now have some e-courses and you talk about there's modules to becoming unstoppable, uncovering your calling. And you say that there's essential exercises to discovering your purpose. Can you share one or two of those with us?
Yeah, for sure. So one of those courses, and these are both just complimentary courses. If you sign up for the website, you go through the you know, there's some different modules for each of those and a workbook for the one that you just mentioned, to uncover your calling. And for that, you know, I lay out a lot of different exercises. The few that I think are the most important are a values exercise, which is really common. I mean, a lot of people have heard of understanding our core values, but that one in particular is, I find in my own life, and I find every time I use that with other people, they point out that one in particular helps them more than some of those others that may be a little more ethereal and, you know, just kind of, when you know, connecting with, you know, looking through your life and looking for themes, or, you know, finding people that you admire that are role models and looking at their life, or writing out potential life paths for yourself. Like, those things are there, and those can be helpful for people. But the values exercise seems to really solidify something for people when they're able to identify their top 4 or 5 values and what those mean to them, and how they can start to immediately incorporate those into their life, seems to really offer people a lot of value, because they can get immediate impact from that. Of, okay, if I value adventure and I have none of that in my life, I'm pretty out of alignment. Yeah. Like, what's a small way I can bring more of that into my life? And all of a sudden realizing that's so important to me, that opens up, I'm going to completely shift the lens that I'm looking through life through, right? I'm going to start to say, okay, it's okay to maybe acknowledge that adventure is something that's going to help me have more fulfillment in life.
Yeah. Or
so a values exercise is one that's really useful for people.
Yeah. And just to add to that, that if adventure is important and you're living a life without any, typically you'll figure out ways to create adventure in more unhealthy ways.
Right?
Like,
sure.
Like, I think that's the problem is, you know, I'm like problem solving by nature. And if I don't create a life that has things to, you know, work on that are helpful, I just create things to work on that are unhelpful, right? So I think it's really...
Right, or we're just simply distract ourselves through a lot of different methods and numb out that discontent.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, and try to pretend that it's not there. And I think that is becoming more and more common in our society. There's so many, at least in American society, there's so many ways to distract ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And just kind of turn off that reflective thinking after a long day, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Joseph, this was an incredible conversation. You're now drumming, doing your dream, sharing all of this value with people. If they want to find out more, go through this I can't believe it's a free course. So guys, like, there's just no reason not to go check this out. But where can they find you?
Yeah, youhaveacalling.com. And then from there, there's a start here section. And you can either sign up for if you're trying to find more clarity on what's next for you, that would be the Uncover Your Calling toolkit. And then the other one is more for people who are already on the path. And it's the Becoming Unstoppable. It's a course I put together a long time ago, but you get a couple of free modules from that. And that's more just to help you with that grit of understanding it's going to be hard and you're going to run into obstacles and challenges, and how can you start to develop that character trait to help you, you know, on your journey. And so those two pieces, I think, can go together to be very helpful. And if you sign up for the first one, you kind of get funneled into the second one anyway. So if that's any, you don't have to sign up for both of them.
Awesome.
And then also for people, if you're interested in checking out the band I'm with, yes, you are.
I was just going to say, what's the band? How do we find out? How do we see you drumming away?
Yeah. So, I mean, the website is weareyesyouare.com, but on Facebook, if you look up Yes You Are, Facebook's probably the place where we would be communicating most often with people and interacting with people. But we definitely love support with that. And our album will be coming out this year. And so really excited to see how that blossoms and where that takes us and where that takes me. And hopefully I can continue to serve people in this way through that on an ongoing basis as things evolve. So very excited.
I'm excited too. I can't wait to go check it out. I'm going to get off our interview and see you drumming away. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this. This is a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Laura, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Hey, before you go, I have a quick question for you. Have you ever considered coaching? If you have no idea what coaching is, no worries. It's basically like a personalized workout program, but instead of doing 100 squats and a million sit-ups, you're working out your mind, your well-being, and your emotions. Coaching is about setting goals and taking action to create a life that's meaningful to you. As we navigate through life and ask ourselves the tough questions, what do I want? What makes me happy? How do I build a life that works for me? Just like we talk about on the podcast, how do I have success, but have success that's authentic and meaningful? In part, the tactics play a huge role. Setting goals, having priorities that make sense, and making sure you're organized with your lists. After running a company for 15 years, I help my clients with that all the time. But coaching takes it even further. We remove all that stuff, all those mental obstacles that get in your way when you're trying to make those tough life choices. If that sounds interesting to you, come on over to lauraco.com, click on the contact form and send me a note, or at the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a button where you can click and set up a call with me. Just like that, it's free. We'll chat, we'll find out what's going on and see if it makes sense for me to help you out. No strings attached. I hope to hear from you. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. I really value each and every one of you.